Lay Reynolds Rap Foyle.
Girl for 17 days in the suburban New York dungeon was found dead in his cell, and she expressed sympathy for his family, but not for him. John Esposito was found unresponsive at a prison in New York Wednesday. The death is under investigation, but does not appear to be suspicious. Esposito was serving 15 years to life for kidnapping Katie Beers and hiding her under his Bayshore Long Island home in 1992. Newtown, Connecticut is beginning what could be a long process to design and build a memorial honoring the 20 children and 6 educators who were fatally shot at Sandy Hook Elementary School. The town board of selectmen solicited volunteers to help with the project, and 35 people have stepped forward. 9 will be selected to serve on a commission, and their names will be announced within about a month. With IRN USA Radio News, I'm...
The following program is brought to you by Tim Elins and Paul Edwards.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with liberal columnist Jeff Ward and conservative public policy activist Alan Skillicorn on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are always welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Jeff Ward and Alan Skillicorn and Left, Right, and You.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Thursday, September 5th, 2013, and we have not waged war with Syria yet.
Not yet, but it could come at any second. It'll be interesting to see how you and I come down on that one, Mr. Skillicorn. But you know what? I let you out of my sight for a little bit next week. You know, one of my jobs in life is to keep tabs on you.
What, you're not going to be around?
Last week, you got out of my sight for a few minutes, and sure enough, you're out there causing trouble, and you make the newspaper again. So why don't you, Alan Skillicorn, why don't you think the village of East Dundee needs a village hall addition and the police expansion and spend $5 million on new building?
Let me just preface this by saying that I don't like using the radio show to advance my own political agenda.
Which is why I bring it up, because I know it annoys you.
Yeah. But
Governor Skillicorn.
When villages and cities have the power of home rule, mm-hmm. it means they can raise taxes, go yep. into debt, and do all those things that non-home rule communities cannot.
And the Tribune did an amazing series on some cities going into more debt than they make. But go ahead.
Well, of course that's the case. Because, you know, central planners, they centrally plan, and they usually don't get it right. And my concern is not that the East Dundee Police Department, it's primarily the prison cells, are just obsolete and not up to code. That's, you know, my concern to stop progress that way, but is to be sensible. And also to give voters the opportunity to exercise their voice and what their opinion is. So I'm always in favor of borrowing and big spending going to referendum. Same with tax increases. Luckily, our town has been very sane with tax increases. It's actually been very sane fiscally. I just think people should have a choice. And you know what? Just back in November 2012, they voted to let the fire district borrow $5.5 million to build their own fire station. So I have no doubt that it would pass, but they should have the right to have that.
Well, that is interesting. And I do think, you know, East Dundee's timing is not the best. I mean, you know, say what you will about some of the local governing bodies, but Kane County's frozen tax levies, many cities, and you, like you said, the East Dundee is doing a decent job.
Yeah, you know,
but the timing on doing this kind of thing.
Have you seen, it was on my blog. Okay, so ironically, a big story hit over Labor Day weekend. And I had some extra time. I was not feeling well, so I did some blogging. And I scheduled it out to hit this week, because I knew this was going to be a busy week going back to work and things like that. Well, it hit, I believe, today, even though I knew about the story since the weekend, is that the state of Illinois spent $700,000 on 3 sets of doors. I almost said whores. For the state house.
That would be more believable,
so,
the whores part.
Basically, each set of doors is $223,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
The contractor that did this out of Palatine is hooked up with the local union. It's just a travesty. And unfortunately, East Dundee is not going to do that. At least over my dead body, they're not going to do that because I'll make a stink of it. But governments have a tendency to do that. Just like Jeff says, they get to this municipal mindset.
Oh, absolutely.
And they like to waste and spend money in any avenue they can.
Yeah, Geneva's excellent at it, my hometown. They are amazing at it.
I'm going to put that to bed because that's what we're here for, and I'm not here to exploit.
But since we're on the subject of crazy city councilmen, Alan, there is
we need a theme song for that.
Yeah, there is one. Crazy by Gnarls Barkley. But there is an Elgin city councilman that is doing his damnedest to put you to shame. And I got to tell you, if I had known Terry Gavin was going to be this entertaining, I would have supported him a heck of a lot more. I don't think I endorsed him on my blog, but boy, was that a mistake, because Terry is providing a lot of bang for our government entertainment dollar. And the latest thing is apparently Terry has watched Dr. Strangelove. It's an old 60s movie with Peter Sellers and many other stars. One too many times because Terry is – I mean, I can hardly say this.
You're giddy with anticipation here.
Terry is basically pulling the fluoridation in Elgin water is a communist plot. Now, not exactly.
Wait, he said that fluoride in the water is from the communists?
Fluoridation.
Yeah, municipal water, fluoride.
Fluoride.
Did I say
yes.
Florida?
Yeah, I think
they put
did.
Fluoride, which is good for your teeth, into right. the water. That's pretty common. Actually, I believe
it's
incredibly state law.
It's state law. It's that common.
1967,
I believe. To be fair to Mr. Gavin, who has some fascinating proclivities, he did not say it's a communist plot. However,
we're going to play a clip.
We are going to play a clip that does say it's a communist plot from that very movie. Dave, would you cue up Dr. Strangelove?
Mandrake, have you never wondered why I drink only distilled water or rainwater and only pure grain alcohol?
Well, it did occur to me, Jack, yes.
Have you ever heard of a thing called fluoridation? Fluoridation of water?
Yes, I have heard of that, Jack, yes. Yes.
Well, do you know what it is?
No. No, I don't know what it is now.
Do you realize that fluoridation is the most monstrously conceived and dangerous communist plot we have ever had to face?
So, yes, that is the famous scene with Peter Sellers and I forget the other actor, two military men in the bunker, one playing background music of gunfire, talking about the most monstrous communist plot known to man. So you could now understand why, when I read this story in the Courier News, I have been laughing my butt off.
It is interesting, and I have heard the stories. Well, there's ones that the Courier talked about. You know, they actually talked about a little bit more serious stuff, but I have heard the stories that people call fluoride an antidepressant, and it's so the government can control people more. I heard that one all the time. That's the one I usually hear, to be honest.
I mean, and there are cities that, Portland, Oregon, voted it out of their water supply. And you know, here's the thing. The bottom line is, you know, to some degree, you could make your argument, Alan, that this is the nanny state. To some degree, it is. Although part of I'd kind of come back at you with, but Alan, but nobody takes care of themselves, and you and I end up paying for all these morons.
Well, there is and I'm not the proponent for big government, but there's certain things that, you know, a municipal or a mass for a whole city where they already have infrastructure for pipes and stuff.
Right.
It makes sense to supply water. And if you're going to supply water, you don't want to have arsenic in it. You don't want to have chemicals in it. You want to have it so it's safe to drink.
Right.
I mean, think about it. What was that town? It wasn't Tinley Park, but there was somewhere in the south suburbs.
Oh, at Crest Hill? Hillcrest?
Crestwood, that's Crestwood. What it was, that had tainted wells.
Yeah.
And they knew about this for years. And it's a horrible, horrible thing. And,
right.
And they are responsible for the damage they did, too. So the idea of having clean water, when you already have the infrastructure of pipes in there, makes sense. And it makes sense for the government to do that, or even for the government to outsource to another body to do it. That's fine too, because it's unfortunately you can't get around those type of monopolies.
No,
they own the pipes underneath your house. You know, that's kind of tough to do.
But this again, this one, you know, the debate's over. You know, you know what? No more saying you know. You get to find me a dollar to Dave's favorite charity every time I say it. Listeners are complaining. But
that's not the only thing they complain about, Jeff.
Well, that's true. The debate is over. Fluoride, the Fox River has like 0.2 grams per million of fluoride. It occurs naturally. The studies that claim fluoride makes people stupid. Now, of course, that one, when you look at the average American, I could almost believe. But those studies are done in China where they have 3 and 4 times the level of fluoride in their overpolluted water.
Yeah, and see, give the listeners a little bit of background. My father was a food scientist.
Oh, I
so he
know
worked
that.
For the FDA for a while, and he worked for a lot of, you know, chemical companies, for flavoring companies, for food companies, all his life. And I grew up with that, and I learned a lot about stuff like that. And it also it builds up my my distrust and apprehension of these organizations too, because I know they're on a take also, and mm-hmm. you know, big business, big agriculture, big pharma. Kind of get their way. But
they do.
On this issue, he would always say, if you drink a bathtub of something,
right.
there's going to be effects.
Right.
So, you know, he was one of the actual engineers that worked on NutraSweet, which is aspartame.
Right.
Not,
yeah, no, you're right.
I think it's aspartame.
It
he
is.
Was what, back in the 70s when Carnation did, he was one of the people that had significant patents on that and such. And he basically, because I guess, you know, saccharin at the time was demonized in California because it, you know, said it caused cancer.
Right.
But the amount you have to take to cause
right.
cancer was so high. In a laboratory rat, you can just pump them full of the stuff and they get cancer. But for a human being, in normal dosages, it's much rarer.
Right. And before that, it was cyclamates.
And it may not be a good idea to eat a lot of saccharin. But
it's not a good
reality,
idea to eat a lot of any sweetener.
Exactly, Jeff. Just like something that's supposed to be good for your teeth, like fluoride.
But, you know, that's a dollar a day's favorite charity.
Well, you know, here, I'm a guy who brushes my teeth all the time, flosses my teeth, even before this show. And
your breath
I still
is minty
spend
fresh.
A lot of money at the dentist. Mm-hmm. So I am a guy who is, you know, that gets cavities. Now, just thinking about this fluoride issue, at work we have bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's easier to drink bottled water, a lot of times I drink bottled water. Now, at home, it's always drinking water out of the tap, which is fluorinated. But maybe I could spend less money at the dentist if I drank tap water all day.
That's right. You could. Although my original dentist never used Novocaine, so I did not go for about a decade. That was not one of my wisest decisions. I only had 13 cavities. And now all those fillings are starting to go. But I love city councilmen that pay attention to their constituents. If some of those Elgin constituents call you up and complain about fluoride or in your water, hang up on them, Terry. Just hang up, because we're going back to the 1950s and 60s communist plot. All it costs Elgin is $30,000 a year to put the fluoride in the water. It's a state law. We got to do it. Don't waste the city council's time bringing this up. Although I have to say, as a columnist, I used to pray for folks like Terry Gavin to make these kind of pronouncements.
What if someone called me mm-hmm. and asked me to, you know, instead of borrowing, why don't you do a referendum? And I said, you don't know what you're talking about. You should trust these guys. And I say, no way. I hang up the phone. Is that different?
It's very different. The difference being your request, your quest, shall I say, for a referendum is well-founded. The fluoride in water debate took on ridiculous proportions. It has been completely debunked. And with everything Elgin has to consider, ultrasound vanophobia, sewers that need to be replaced, pit bulls, and a plethora of other things, the last thing we should be doing is wasting almost every city councilman and the mayor responded to this issue
yeah.
is wasting our time on
fluoridated
water.
Here's one thing I'm curious about.
Mm-hmm.
And what if the paper is blowing us out of proportion just a little bit, and they just have a short discussion, and basically they come to the decision like, oh, this is mute. Yeah, this is a moot point. Let's not worry about this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it comes to. I think that's appropriate. That, you know, what if there's something out there that could be damaging the people? Let's discuss it. If it's not true, let's move on.
I would agree. Yes.
By the
but
way,
this has
I,
already been put to
before
bed.
You go to break. I do have. I found a little. I guess a time capsule from Terry Gavin's past. I found a little on YouTube.
Here
it is.
Is it radio safe?
Yeah.
This is Terry.
Wonderful.
Not me either. I guess this Crest toothpaste really works.
Yes, Crest really works for grown-ups and children, right down to your very youngest. because only Crest has Fluoristan.
I was a little worried at first. I mean, yeah. I think Terry's heart's in the right place. And if they don't waste a lot of time on it, it's okay to have a discussion. Hey, they're adults. They can have a discussion. I mean, the rest of the discussions are in executive session and are private.
But, Alan, there are people that believe 9/11 was a conspiracy. There are people that believe we never landed on the moon.
If we don't talk about it,
there's something.
If we don't talk about it, those people are like, well, it's just a conspiracy that they don't talk about it.
Sorry, they will never give in. Come on. Even Mythbusters proved all these moonshot conspirators. No, let's move on from fluoridated water to something that's really important. And I would encourage Terry to come out of the 1960s. That would be my, it's just too Dr. Strangelove. So I love your notion as an alderman of continuing the conversation. It used to be my theme as a columnist. I am going to have to go against myself and you in this one instance and tell Terry that if he wants to brush his teeth more, that's fine, but the rest of us are going to have fluoride in our water.
Yeah, I guess it's tough to tell people to buy bottled water in Elgin, because there's probably a tax on that, too.
Well, now we get into all the plastic bottles. So, anyway, why don't we put that to rest? Although, if Alderman, Councilman, whatever.
You know, I want to use this as an opportunity. I was surfing another blog, and we're all about, you know, obviously we talk about politics here, but we like community service and helping people out. But it also, we can kind of swing it back to Elgin. And this is just, you know, the National Kidney Foundation of Illinois has a free kidney and diabetes screening day in Crystal Lake tomorrow. Please call the First Institute on 757 McHenry Avenue in Crystal Lake, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow. Now, I wanted to bring this up, people, because, you know, kidney disease and diabetes are important things, but it also gets back to Elgin.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good thing that Crystal Lake doesn't have a law against vans that come in and get free services.
It isn't just a law, though. Because, you know, here it's a zoning thing, and you have to pay and get a permit.
Mm-hmm.
But the permit costs $200, and it only lasts, you know, 30 continuous days. So let's say the Kidney Foundation of Illinois wanted to go to Crystal Lake, or let's say Elgin, five times in a year. Just 5 days, but they're 5 days spread out over the year. They wouldn't be allowed to do that under the Elgin ordinance.
They would not. No.
I think that's very interesting. So if people can get up at Crystal Lake. I mean, they're in our listener area. You know, it's got to be a good day for the waves to go up that way. But they're definitely inside the listener range. If they want to go up there between 10 a.m. and 2, they can just head on up there. It's at First Institute, 757 McHenry Avenue, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And McHenry Avenue is the main drag up there.
And they allow
free services in mobile vehicles like that.
That's a great thing. And $2 to Dave's favorite charity. Perhaps it is the fluoride in Elgin's water that's making him mobile vanophobic. maybe Terry Gavin is onto something. Maybe he's secretly working for TLC.
Well, we don't know where they stand. I mean, Terry Gavin could be like, hey, this is a dumb ordinance. Let's get rid of it. Mm-hmm. But because it was an executive session speaking.
And nobody is talking about this.
Yeah.
Well, before we go to break, and maybe we'll break a little early today before we get into our next topic, I do want to posit, you know, we're going to get into Syria. We're going to get into whether we should intervene in Syria, and that is a really, really tough subject. But I want to throw a question out to our listeners to see perhaps if we might generate a few calls. And I don't really have a great answer to this one, but can you be a Christian and stand by and watch what's happening to innocent civilians in Syria?
I want to throw that
out there. And the phone number, of course, at this lovely radio station, WRMN 1410, is 847-931-1410. But before we go to break, Alan...
Yeah, I'd be curious if people would call in and give us their opinion.
Right.
About if we should, you know, bomb the Syrians or not.
Right, in regards to their use of chemical weapons, crossing that red line. But before we do go to break, where can people find you, Mr. Skillicorn, aside from in the Courier News?
Well, there's a little thing called Twitter, and it'd be at Alan Skillicorn, spelled out. But then I also have a blog at my website at www.alanskillicorn.com. And on there, we talked about the $700,000 in doors for the State House. And that story is actually developing. There's more coming to it. So I'm going to have an update to that blog post. And there's a bunch more on there, up there.
Sounds good. Of course, there's always our Facebook fan page. You know, and more people are joining. It's great to see that. Fairly much type in left, right, and you. But what's the actual
It is
thingy?
A facebook.com/groups/left, right, and you.
All right. That sounds good. And, of course, our fine listeners with such discerning tastes can find me at thefirstward.net, all spelled out. So why don't we pay some bills and come back and talk about Syria?
Yeah, we'll be back in a moment. So last night I couldn't sleep. So I got my laptop going. And fortunately, when you're sitting in bed, it gets hot, doesn't have a good airflow. You know, even though it's a cool night, it's still uncomfortable.
Well, have I got the solution for you? I invented a product called the Lapinator. And you can go to www.lapinator.com. It is a laptop.
You might have to spell that.
Lapinator. I found out in French it means rabbit killer, but, you know, so much for brand name testing.
Yeah, you're not going to be very popular in France.
No, not in France. But basically what the Lapinator is on, it's a portable insulated laptop desk that not only keeps 95% of laptop heat off your lap, so I don't have to get the fire extinguisher out every time you use your laptop, but it keeps your laptop 11 degrees cooler with no moving parts. So, hey.
That's great. And heat does damage electronics.
We sell all our product through Amazon, so, you know, you can get shipping free. Go to www.lapinator.com. www.lapinator.com.
Hi, this is Alan Skillicorn. Here's a reminder that Odyssey Forge offers creative, custom, and unique internet solutions. Looking for more security or two-factor verification? Odyssey Forge has a solution for you. Do you want a custom WordPress site? Odyssey Forge can customize the popular platform. What about secure e-commerce? Odyssey Forge will develop an attractive site easy to use for you and your customers. Check out www.odysseyforge.com or see my Odyssey Forge-powered site, alanskillicorn.com.
And we're back.
Right back at you.
To the September 5th, 2013 edition of Left.
Yeah, just
right
remind here. People, if they want to comment on Syria, it's 847-931-1410 to dial in. And I think we have a very interesting position on
we do.
Syria here.
But let's...
Jeff is...
I say we
I'm surprised. I'm surprised at your position.
It was...
I'm actually shocked
at
your position.
It was an exceedingly... tough position. You have to understand, I'm a big military historian with almost owning every computer war game ever made. You know, I understand the ramifications, but, well, and let's give the folks a little background. Of course, the civil war in Syria, Bashar Assad has killed 100,000 of his own people. The rebels aren't much better, if you recall that video of a rebel leader eating somebody's heart.
You know, before we get into this... Mm-hmm. I want our listeners out there that, you know, are at work or at home, you know, get out your, like, iTablet machine or, mm-hmm. you know, your computer and go to the Google page. And I know the NSA is watching, but type in Leviathan gas field and
All right.
See what it comes up. And then when you see that, now start thinking of a perspective of what we're going to talk about.
All right. That's fair
and
enough.
I don't know if you have, but I have.
No, you've let me in on it, but. But, so, Syria has been killing their own people by conventional means for the past few years. But recently, you know, they crossed, as our president called it, the red line, and beyond a reasonable doubt, used chemical weapons against their own people, killing about 1,500 civilians, 400 of them, 400 of them were children.
Now, what's interesting is that I've been hearing the drums of war beating for almost a year now in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I ask people to look up the gas field issue. And it seems like there's certain people, and especially certain arms of the media, that are very interested in going, because other than, you know, the media, mm-hmm. you know, we don't hear a lot, but they talk about pictures and things like that. have there really been pictures of this stuff? I mean, the file footage I see is really goofy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very old. I mean, some of it I have a feeling is from the 80s when the United States was occupying that area. Mm-hmm. The hair in the back of my neck starts to stand up.
I hear you, and this is my decision was not an easy one. And it's funny, I actually disagree with one of my political heroes, Bill Maher here, who said, you know, nobody intervened in our Civil War, which it's not exactly true, but we had a very bloody Civil War, still the bloodiest war in our history. They targeted civilians for the first time in any war, not in the same method. They just burned cities. Nobody intervened in our Civil War. Although, again, the British were a little bit sneaky about supporting the South. But nobody overtly intervened. Nobody came
in.
Yeah,
I mean, other than countries selling the South, arms
or buying their cotton.
Yeah, I don't see. I don't see Mexican armies coming in and supporting them. They were anti-slavery anyways. Right. But I don't see the Europeans getting involved either. You know, from the North or the South, other than selling armament. You know, just getting rich off of it. Mm-hmm.
So the question that the president has decided that we need to repudiate Syria, no boots on the ground, he said, but we need to teach Syria a lesson essentially by engaging in a military strike that basically says we will not condone chemical weapons of any type, means, form, whatever. John Boehner has come on board with the president. Recently, John McCain has come on board. He wasn't on board. Some Republicans have not.
Well,
some Democrats
have not. We're going to have a clip from John McCain in a minute.
Okay.
But John McCain wasn't on board because it didn't kill enough people. Yeah. It didn't bomb enough people. Well, but, you know, here's of note, though, is David Cameron in England has been crying for 6 months that Assad has needed to be stopped. Mm-hmm. You know, he has said the words punish. He needs to be punished. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know that, you know, he was a child, you know, that was being disrespectful and needed to be punished. I mean, is that the role that we play? I'm not sure. But last week there was a big development and Parliament voted no.
Right.
And I'm going to point over to Dave if he can play the Parliament clip.
The ayes to the right, 272. The noes to the left, 285. Yeah!
And that is Parliament voting no. And I brought that up because, one, it's exciting to have, you know, to listen to Parliament. I wish we had enthusiasm like that here in the United States.
They have a lot of enthusiasm to go after Barack Obama.
Well, but, you know, when they say that, you know, okay, let's bring up the Barack Obama thing. You know, like a lot of people on the left said, oh, it's so uncivilized the way they attack them and stuff. And I'm like, the people who say they don't understand politics, it's been like this for 2,000 years.
Well, it's a
little. There have been people that in Greece that, you know, were killed on the Senate floor.
And
there is almost someone killed in the United States Senate.
Wait a minute, Broadway play Greece? I did not hear about this.
But, yeah. You know, even in the United States Senate, there was a guy who was almost killed. And you know what people did afterwards? They sent the guy canes that did it because he beat him with a cane. I mean, the people who say that, you know, attacking the president is uncivilized, they don't have a clue about politics.
I will have to disagree with you on that, but we're getting a little off track.
But here's the thing. David Cameron was a huge proponent of this, and Parliament basically took away his authority, and he now says no.
That's right. And there are a plethora of arguments on your side. One, Saddam Hussein used chemical weapons.
Have I picked a side?
Well, you've made it kind of clear. You have, Alan.
I'm open-minded, Jeff.
Okay, but the bottom line.
I think your T-shirt that says "I love Assad" that probably says a lot.
There are a lot of arguments for those that favor folks like Rand Paul. He was one of the ones that voted against this, who are against any intervention whatsoever. And the first is, of course, is that Assad has been killing his own people for 3-4 years. We haven't done a damn thing. The second is when Saddam Hussein used chemical weapons on the Kurds up north, we didn't do a damn thing. The third, and the one I'm hearing the most, is if we do strike, it won't do a damn thing. So and those, all three of those are really good arguments. However, I think when you do cross a line, and the line in this case is chemical weapons like cluster bombs, like nuclear weapons, like, you know, landmines, target innocent people and are exceedingly difficult for civilians to defend themselves against. You know, you can do your best to get out of the way of bullets and whatnot. Chemical weapons, you know, you're pretty much toast. And I think we need to send a message to the rest of the world that might engage in this, that if you do, there will be consequences. And I think a cruise missile strike would be warranted.
But is it necessary for the United States taxpayers to have to be the ones that make that message?
That's a good question. And if we've talked a little bit about that before the show, and this is, I don't know the answer to this one. We claim to be the leaders of the free world, many, especially Republicans and some Democrats. We claim that we are the leaders of the free world. And if we stake that claim, then don't we have a responsibility to step in when somebody crosses the line?
You know, here's what I do is I like to learn from my mistakes. Mm-hmm. And back in 2003-ish, what I criticized President Bush for was not for the initial Iraq invasion, but was for not being a leader. And what I mean about that is that he wasn't able to create a situation where UN wanted to come in there and do it. Mm-hmm. He wasn't able to convince anyone, basically.
No.
So he was not a leader. Now, in hindsight, so 10 years later, I learned that lesson because basically, you know, we lost a lot of lives, lost a lot of treasure, and our thing's much different there. But we had a very secular leader in Iraq, and now, even though things have kind of simmered down, it seems like we still have tens of thousands of troops there. And just over the weekend, I got to actually speak with a couple of the troops that are there. They're, of course, against going to Syria, but they already know who's shooting at them now. But here's the thing. Most of us have learned a lesson from that. Even the, you know, basically the Democratic Party, what you supported, mm-hmm. you know, George Bush during 2003 and then changed your mind. They have every right to do, but they shouldn't be hypocritical about it. I mean, they should at least go, okay, just like me, I admit that I'm wrong. I was wrong on the issue. I only criticize Bush for being a power leader.
But let's be
clear. We're not being a bad decision.
We are not talking boots on the ground here. We're not talking troops going in. Go ahead.
Well, so we learned from that lesson is that messing around the Middle East sometimes is not a good thing. So we didn't like Saddam Hussein at all. But he had such an iron grip over his opposition that there wasn't a lot of chaos. Then when we take him out, then you have the more of the radicalized element, and then you got into the whole issue of the, you know, the Sunni versus the Shiite and stuff that we Americans don't understand, and we create a lot of problems there.
One of the things you just said, there's not going to be boots on the ground, which is all fair and good to sell this package, but how do we know that there will not be boots on the ground? I'm sorry, war is anything but predictable. You can't just say we're going to shoot 5 missiles at Syria. Boom,
but we have done that in the past. That's
my worry.
Most recent example. Look at Europe's war with Libya. That President Obama, for some reason, said, hey, let's get involved in this. We weren't supposed to have boots on the ground there, but sure enough, Americans got killed. Sure enough, Americans got killed supplying arms that are everywhere with all the rebels and arms that sure enough got to Syria. So this – hold on.
Please note, I said a cruise missile
This
strike.
Problem with Syria is the United States' own doing. You heard it here first. When Hillary Clinton lied
– to some degree.
The Senate about not selling arms
Iran is
through the Libyan
– Alan, let's
the Libyan
fair.
Operation.
Iran
she
is
was lying, and this is our issue.
Supplying arms to Syria big time, and to the point that the Israelis made an airstrike into Syria. So,
well, here's the thing. Israel is a quite capable country. Mm-hmm. If they feel threatened, they will defend themselves. They have every right to defend themselves.
But my point in that simply
but there's
was
no threat.
That our arms are just a drop in the bucket
so
compared to what Iran is doing.
Is Syria
right now
a threat to the United States?
Syria's actions are a threat to the United States. Syria's actions are a threat to the civilized world. Syria itself,
how does their actions threaten you, me?
Because if we let this use of chemical weapons slide, the next guy is going to use them. I mean, say what you will about stupid involvement.
How do we really know the chemical weapons are used?
We do. It's the proof.
Just like the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq?
In this case, there have been tests. The British agreed.
They're the same people that said there was weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
No, these are not the same.
We do have
people.
A caller on the line.
Let's hear from our caller.
We've got Howard on the line. Howard, you're on Left, Right, and You.
Howard.
Hey, Alan. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good.
Hey, what about Russia and their stance on this?
Well, pretty much Russia is supporting Syria. I don't know if they're arming them, but they're basically, the last I heard, they are basically saying to, you know, for all the other nations to keep their hands off.
Yeah, I believe Russia is also arming them, but I think Russia also owns a interest in the pipeline from the mm-hmm. gas field. So they have a lot going into it, because I think some of that gas would get to them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's our biggest threat if we do anything is Russia, and maybe China too.
And what do you suggest doing, Howard?
I say we stay out of it.
All right.
As much as I hate to say that.
That's a fair thing.
Thanks, Howard, for joining us.
Yeah,
Howard,
thanks.
But again,
by the way,
I want to be
Putin,
clear.
Didn't Putin say, Russia said they would join in if they actually found proof that the Syrians were using chemical weapons on their own people, that they would get involved if they had absolute proof about that? I think that just came out this week. I think it was Putin who said that. He would get involved. He would join the U.S. if they found out absolute proof.
But in this case, UN, which were not the folks that made it into, went in, took hair samples. They had sarin in them. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, these are not the same people, Alan. This is not the CIA building a case for an invasion.
But it is problematic. It's
tough
absolutely. To prove who used it, who had them. I mean, the Syrian military might also be compromised by these rebels.
Right.
So it could be the Syrian military who – you ever watched read Tom Clancy's books? And
sure.
Some of the conspiracy – I mean, there could be rogue
leaders. Oh, come on.
Rogue leaders.
In Chicago, back in the 60s and 70s, the way you got press is bombing your own campaign office. I do understand. However, from what I've read, and we certainly don't have time to go into everything here, I believe the Syrian government used chemical weapons. I don't think they've outright denied it either, if I'm correct. I don't remember reading, hearing, seeing an outright denial. However, and what finally did it for me is, again, I don't consider myself a Christian, but the question...
Hold on. Well, part of it, I got to look at what do they have to gain? You know, if Assad could be crazy, who knows?
Right.
But if they are logical, what do they have to gain? You know, the rebels have a lot to gain if the United States would strike down the Assad regime.
I actually don't think so. But I'm not calling for a strike down.
I know Dave's busy working the keyboard and working the dials here, but could you bring up the John McCain clip? Because it's interesting to hear John McCain.
Would you ignore the stacks of dead bodies without a mark on them? Would you ignore that it's already been established that as many as 10 times, at least, and many as 30, where chemical weapons have already been used? There's no doubt about that.
Thanks. You notice how John McCain's all giddy, like, already established. Mm-hmm. The guy's giddy about giving an excuse to bomb Syria, and this is a guy that's been looking for excuses to bomb Iran for years.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to be very careful. And I don't know.
Agree.
I wonder, Jeff, if you get caught up with the enthusiasm.
No,
you know, maybe
absolutely
President Obama.
Not.
You know, which you are. You know, a verified Obama bot. You know, you're getting caught up in his enthusiasm.
Whoa.
His excitement.
I've taken
the president bomb the Middle East
to task over the NSA. It is not excitement. I do not. I am not talking about overthrowing the regime. Well, you're not letting me finish. I am not talking about overthrowing the regime. I am talking about a single cruise missile strike, which probably won't do all that much one way or the other, that says don't do it again.
Wait. That probably doesn't do much in one way or the other.
Other than send a message.
Who cares about sending messages?
I do. I don't want the next mopey.
Well, you know, that's great. That's great. We should send more messages. Maybe we could use text messages or Twitter. Or...
in this case, you have to make it hurt a little bit. I don't think it's going to desperately or drastically change the course of how things are going. I think us arming the Syrian rebels, which we are already doing, and there was widespread support for, will do far more to change
illegally
the course
supporting, I might add.
Well, the Congress, everybody voted on it.
Congress has not voted to arm the rebels.
Well, that committee that was voted 15-3 to do it.
No, well, that was the, I believe that was the, are you talking about the one that was just 2 or 3 days ago?
Yeah.
That wasn't to arm them. That was to, well,
that's
the bomb them. Yeah. That's the,
to bomb them, it was
that's,
like 10-7.
That's more of the bomb. Yeah. But here's the thing, we've already been supporting them with arms
right.
illegally.
No, it's legal. We voted on it. The government voted in this committee. I don't understand you're illegal.
When, remember when Hillary Clinton said we are not
supplying
the arms?
Back. You're going way back. Okay.
We've been illegally supplying the arms, and that's why that's an issue. But before we get into the innocent and such, actually, let's get into the innocent and such.
But you know, my bottom line, and apparently I've confused you, Alan. My bottom line is, can you be a Christian and sit by and watch this happen? And where I fall apart a little bit is the degree to which we should intervene. I think we've got to do something. I don't like this. I don't like the choices. I don't like the situation. But I feel like, how can we stand by and watch these Syrians die?
It's tragic. But, you know, we stand by and watch people die every day.
No,
here in the United States, in Africa, through disease, through poverty, starvation.
The hysterical thing is,
where do we draw that line, Jeff? Where's the red line?
And that's where I have the difficulty. Because, oddly enough, one of the funniest lines that drew a huge amount of applause on the Colbert Report last night. If we were really going to, Stephen gets on and says, if we were really going to respond to people dying, we would have invaded Chicago.
And if people don't get that, Chicago is a war zone. Right. No matter what Rahm Emanuel or Gary McCarthy says, it's a war zone.
I think in this case...
Do you think Gary McCarthy is like a sod?
No.
Gary McCarthy, the police chief.
I think that's a bleeping hilarious joke. The bottom line is, I think chemical weapons put this over the line. And if I had to choose when we intervene, I would knock us for not intervening when the Iraqis did it to the Kurds. And I think that this requires some sort of direct and unequivocal response.
You know,
and
as
I'm not happy with
as a
answer.
Christian right winger, mm-hmm. You're pulling at my heartstrings, Jeff. and there are definitely cases mm-hmm. for moral war.
There are.
I remember writing a paper about it in college. Mm-hmm.
St. Augustine, but go ahead.
But it's not that easy, and unfortunately, I can't make a case for moral war mm-hmm. in a couple weeks. I need to have just compelling, overwhelming evidence.
And in my mind, we have it.
And unfortunately, all I've seen is manufactured information on a media that's kind of, in the tank. You know what? Here's the ratings booster. Come on. I don't know if this is manufactured to save Obama's second term because he's mirrored in controversy and he's about to go down for NSA and IRS.
That's too far.
Well, think about it. Every time we bomb someone, it's because,
it didn't work out well for George W. Bush in the end.
It worked out pretty nice for Bill Clinton.
It's not a guaranteed populations.
Here's the thing about the
public relations.
About the, war. And that's something that's, we can discuss that. But I think it takes more time to put that concrete case together. And right before the show, and I love that you brought this up because right before the show, I was reading Huffington Post and it said that the Pope has come out against the war. He actually says that we should abandon futile pursuit of military solution here.
There's something to be said for that. I think it's hysterical.
Isn't it interesting? Well, it's not. I don't think it's.
We need to change the name of the
logical.
Show to right, left, and you.
I think it's actually the logical position that if we're going to be really conservative, laissez-faire, we need to defend our interests, not other people's interests. Mm-hmm. If we have Americans there, if we have American interests there, then we have the obligation to protect those interests because those are our citizens. Mm-hmm. Does that mean we can't get involved in World War II or something? Absolutely not. But remember, in World War II, we were attacked. You know, there's we shouldn't be looking for fights, especially fights in the Middle East that we're not prepared to win. I mean, you just said that it's not going to make any difference.
No, probably not.
Yeah,
not in the terms of
we pick a fight we don't even want to finish?
I'm not calling this picking a fight.
And another thing, as a Christian country, should we bomb the Syrians, kill more Syrians to advance our Christian values?
That's a decent argument, but much like there is a just war, there is a just response to an unjust act. So my two points are, one, we got to send a message. Alan, you're not letting me finish. We got to send a message so the next guy doesn't do it. And unfortunately, every result of the message comes up
with a worse outcome. Think about it. Let's say we want a regime change. Mm-hmm. So we put in a 1,000 commandos. We assassinate Assad. We put in our own straw puppet.
I am not arguing for that, by the way.
We put in our own straw puppet. There we have a solution, but it's an equally bad solution.
Right.
So what we do? We blow up a couple power stations. We blow up their fresh water treatment. They get no fluoride. Their kids get cavities. Yeah. But unfortunately, we're going to take out their arms. We're going to kill civilians in the process. We're going to get blamed for killing civilians. We're going to, you know, Al-Qaeda is now going to be mad at us for killing their civilians.
It's not a great solution. I'm not arguing it's perfect.
We're darned if we don't. Right. So what is the solution? We stay out until there's a real threat to United States or one of our allies.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree. But let's finish this up. Let's segue and finish this up on a lighter note as we are heading into the final 10 minutes of the show. And, Alan, I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but I don't work at Jewel food stores. You know, I don't work for gas stations.
You don't punch in at the
but these places seem to think I am on the payroll.
You know what? I do take my carts in, mm-hmm. but I just do it because I just love serving other people.
The East Dundee trustee, who cares?
Why do you have a Jewel t-shirt on if you don't work at Jewel?
But here's the thing. Last weekend, you know, I turned 55. My wife and I bought a really nice 2-seat recliner. You know, we're getting old, so it's great to sit back and fall asleep
at
7 o'clock.
Could just keep rolling here. We could finish the whole show on the jokes.
You know, when the delivery was completely fouled up, they expected me to call and unravel it. And I finally called the manager of the store back, well, I will not name, and basically said, I am not on your payroll. And in this case, we go on to Jewel, where they expect you to now check out your own stuff. So, you know, we do have a caller, but we're on from Sirius.
Okay.
The time to call was then, Dave. Thank you for calling. But the bottom line is, you go into Jewel, they now have so few checkers, you almost have to use the self-checkout lane. You go into Fresh Market, or most gas stations, and I know some...
I think the zip code is different. So let's go into you
I am not on the payroll at those places.
So you're upset because you had poor customer service. Yeah.
I had customer service that expected me to do... I had a company, a national company, that expected me to do their work, and this is happening more
and more. When things got messed up,
right.
Was it because of their policy or because of...
It was because of their incompetence.
Okay, well, you had poor service. Why does that... taint the whole idea of self-checkout.
Oh, it's happening more and more and more.
Can I tell you some of my experiences?
But the self-checkout lanes, that's an abomination.
Here's the value. Now, if you're like me, and I typically like fresh groceries.
So that means
I don't go every 2 weeks and get, hundreds of pounds of groceries. And I always yell at my wife for putting too much stuff in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. So I like fresh stuff. So I go a couple times a week, okay? And when I'm running in there, I find that it's faster to use a self-checkout. Let's say I have a full cart full of stuff. Well, it doesn't make sense for me to do self-checkout if I have a whole cart full of stuff.
For two or three items, the self-checkout works.
It works very
nice. But if you go to Walmart, if you go to Jewel, they are now skimping on checkers, which forces you to them.
Are they skimping on checkers? There's part of that, yes. But there's also a lot of consumers like myself – I think that the market has changed a little bit, and there are people who run in there, get a few things, and they probably actually make more money on that because those people probably buy higher profit items too. Because the people who stock up are like, well, meat's on sale this week, Margaret, we're going to buy 6 months worth.
But, and then, you know, entering.
So that's what they do, and I bet you they make more money on the people who buy just a couple things, so they want to make it more convenient for people like me.
I would like
the
to
free market is working.
Rosy viewpoint, but I don't think so. And I think, you know, this is one of the things that drove Borders out of business. You could go search for something yourself on a computer terminal in their store. And I'm thinking, what? I could do that at home. So you're training your customers to not have a relationship with your employees, to not build customer loyalty. Mm-hmm. And you're right. In gas stations, typing in your zip code where there is no human interaction is a method to prevent some credit card fraud. At Fresh Market in Geneva and other areas, the checker's right there. I'm not entering my zip code anymore. You know what? It shouldn't be a quiz to have
you know,
to check
I have
out.
The zip code thing doesn't seem to bother me too much because if someone did steal my card or something, having that person know my zip code is an additional, you know, check and balance of that situation. I'm not sure if there's something more evil behind it. I mean, maybe the NSA is behind wanting to know your zip code.
But these stores, in East Dundee, stores in Geneva, have been granted a reprieve. The internet, because big box stores didn't get that you need to build relationships, Barnes & Noble will be out in 2 years. Best Buy is going downhill. Circuit City's already gone. Borders is gone. These independent, smaller, fresh markets, I mean, Jewel isn't small, but it's not nationwide, have a real opportunity to stage a comeback that not even I foresaw. But this move towards no interaction and having your customer work for you. You know, if you go to a place like Trader Joe's, they don't make you bag the groceries, but the people are in line. They don't have enough baggers, and it's kind of implicit.
And there's definitely discount grocers like Aldi and such who
But then you know what you're getting into. Woodman's or Aldi's, you're absolutely right, Alan. You're getting into bagging your own stuff. You know you're going to do it going in, and you're willing to do it. But I think these stores are making
Do you pump
your
own gas?
Yeah.
As long as we don't live in New Jersey.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and there are some gas stations, I do believe, these days that do offer an attendant.
I have not seen a full service in years, other than New Jersey and I think one other state.
There was one right outside of Syria.
Okay.
But I think that's out of business.
I feel like I need to develop a stand-up routine, but I'm not on the payroll. I don't want to have to. Note, if I choose to, that's okay. I don't want to have to check out my own groceries and bag them. I don't want to
Jeff,
bag
there's
my
so many
groceries.
More things for me to worry about.
Like fluoride and Elgin's water. I don't want to type my zip code in. But here's the thing. I don't think retailers get that I'm not the only one that feels that way. I'm sure there's people that have your
shattered
viewpoints.
You know what? As you know, our population gets older and grumpier, there's going to be more and more people like you, Jeff.
That's right. And I should be their leader.
You know, pretty soon it's going to be a whole bunch of John McCain's that want to bomb the gas stations.
So, but in any of don't bomb gas stations. We are not encouraging that. I just think it is I don't like it. I love going to stores where people know your name. I love getting great service at stores because I'd rather do that than the internet.
And you're telling Terry Gavin to get out of the 60s.
Yeah. You know, and I think that these stores, these brick-and-mortar stores that have the instant gratification advantage, also have the build-a-relationship advantage, and they should not be looking for ways to automate the customer. So there you go. That's my rant for the day. You can disagree, Ellen, but you're wrong as usual.
You know, there is a business decision to be made, and maybe it's not the correct business decision. But I don't know if it's something that I even care to think about.
But I do. And so I thought we'd bring it up. I miss my columns for the rant capacity, so I got a little one in today.
Well, as we're wrapping up, I want to quickly re-mention the kidneys and diabetes screening
in
Crystal Lake at First Institute 757 McHenry Avenue tomorrow, 10 a.m., 2 p.m. I want to announce another event that I'm taking part in Monday, September 23rd. There's a golf outing. I'm not a big golfer, but there's going to be some big name politicians there. It's for the King County Republican Party. Most of the gubernatorial candidates are going to be there. I believe even the the notorious new chairman of the party might be there to give him some give him a tough time and maybe a chance to meet him. Maybe he's a good guy after
Jim
all.
Durkin?
I don't know. Jack Dorgan and a bunch of other local, you know, probably your boss will be there.
I don't think Jack's a golfer.
Yeah, but I don't golf publicly, but I'm still going to be there. So people have a chance to meet me. It's an opportunity. I know they have room for a couple foursomes, but they also have dinner. Check out Kane County.
Sounds good.
Or KaneGOP.org.
And then AlanSkillicorn.com, TheFirstWard.net.
Yep, Facebook, you can find us on Facebook. Right, the Facebook group is great. We're both on Twitter. Jeff tweeted today we should have like music of fans cheering. You know, you tweeted something out. I've been pretty regular. And I think I want to go into this, the waste, the $50 million waste at the State House next month, next week. And hopefully we could probably bring on Daily Herald reporter Carrie Lester. I think it'd
all
be
right,
a fun show.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening.
This is Jeff Swoboda, Chief of Police for the City of Elgin. You're listening to WRMN 1410 in Elgin.